Luke chapter 21. The Gospel of Luke chapter 21. We'll begin reading this morning at verse 20. This is the words of Jesus. He is speaking to the disciples and telling them of the imminent destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And then he points towards the future. Let's read. "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that desolation is nigh." Be reminded, he's talking about what would happen in 70 A.D. "Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which were written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon his people." Verse 24 in our text this morning. "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive." Your country, disciples, your capital, will be destroyed, will be led away captive. "Into all nations they will be dispersed, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles." Here's key to our message this morning. The city of Jerusalem, the capital of the saints, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled. Fasten your attention. Jesus said on Jerusalem, take your prophetic watch and set it by God's timepiece. Because from this point on, everything that happens will be gauged around the capital city of Jerusalem and the tiny nation of Israel. I want you to know that it is possible this morning to unequivocally set your watch and look at it and realize we're living in the last of the last days. Let's preach this morning on Jerusalem, God's timepiece for man. Why is God interested in a tiny nation encompassing only 8,437 square miles, has a population of only 6,116,835 people? And why is He focused on Jerusalem? When you talk about world cities, it's relatively small, with only a population of 657,500. Why can we set end time prophecy clocks by the country of Israel and the city of Jerusalem? I want you to understand that God has an everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel. In Genesis chapter 12, God honored a man who had faith, and God spoke with him because he was moved by faith. I want to tell you, if you want God, somebody says, God's not talking to me. If you'll walk by faith, God will talk to you. You say, God's not moving for me. If you'll move by faith, God will move for you. Do you understand this morning? God honors faith. Amen. Amen. God cannot move in doubt. God cannot move in unbelief. He has no part of that. But by faith, God will move for you. And so he found a man of faith, and God promised him Though he had no children, God said, I'm going to make a mighty nation of you, and I will develop an everlasting covenant. How many knows that when God makes you a promise, you can take it to the bank? Amen. Due to disobedience, God promised also through the prophets such as Isaiah to disperse them from their homeland. And this was fulfilled in about 600 B.C. when the Babylonian Empire, which is present-day Iraq, invaded the land. And the people of God were dispersed. And for the first time, after the Abrahamic covenant was fulfilled by Joshua, for the first time now, they were dispersed from their homeland that God had promised them. Isaiah also prophesied that in the end times, Israel would be gathered back to Palestine to become a sovereign nation. He prophesied and said with joy and was singing, my people will come back from every land and every people, and they'll come back to their homeland. He said, well, the desert is going to blossom again as the rose. He said that where thorns once grew for thousands of years, literally, he said now is going to come up fruit trees. That's what Isaiah prophesied. From the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD until the 20th century, there was no nation of Israel. Jews were dispersed into countries around the world and primarily into the European nations. Palestine became a place only for goats and sheep. Palestine became a place of desert. Palestine, what once the Bible said flowed with milk and honey, became the habitation of the wild beast according to prophecy. I'm telling you, you can set your prophetic clock by watching the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. I'm warning us today, we are living in the last of the last days. God's great time clock is ticking. I can hear the sound of the second hand as it ticks towards the coming of the Lord. I would like to encourage you to lift up your head, to be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ, and to look for His soon return. During the Great World Depression of the 30s, a demonically inspired leader, Adolf Hitler, ascended to the leadership of the German Republic. From 1937 until 1945, Hitler's Nazi regime annihilated over 6 million ethnic Jews from Europe. The grand plan of the Nazi thousand-year Reich was to destroy forevermore anyone who had Jewish blood coursing through their veins. I'd like to preach to you today, God had already said through the prophet, I'll have a nation, and I'll have a capital, and my people are coming back home. And Hitlers have come and gone, and Nazi regimes have come and gone. And men have had plans, and perhaps that was the most grandiose, and was 6 million dead, and the smoking chimneys of the concentration camp belching their flesh upon the earth again in the form of ashes. I want to tell you, it was not possible for Hitler nor any of his henchmen to destroy what God said is going to be my eternal people. Oh no, there was prophecies yet to be fulfilled, and Hitler's and others like him was not able to stop the plan of God. The Holocaust created the impetus for the Jews to fulfill Isaiah 35 and 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Hallelujah. Somebody say return. And they will come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. They came from the concentration camps. They came from the hideouts in the woods of Eastern Europe. They hitchhiked. They got on rail cars and rode underneath box cars. They stow away on ships. They made their way. They walked. They had an exodus from godless Europe. And there was beating in the breast of Jews who were not even religious Jews, some desire for a homeland in Palestine. And they began to show up by twos and threes, by 100s and 500s. They took ships and chartered cargo ships and arrived off the Mediterranean coast, disembarked by night, stole into Palestine and showed up, because God put just as much as He put instinct in a homing pigeon to find its home again. Israel was looking for the prophesied homeland. On May 14, 1948, fulfilling Bible prophecy, David Ben-Gurion, in a converted cinema in Tel Aviv, announced the United Nations establishment under Resolution 181 of Israel as a sovereign nation. On May 15th, it was to take effect. On May 15th, as daylight dawned on Israel, Israel was attacked by Egypt, Syria, Transjordan, Iraq, and Lebanon. The Secretary General of the Arab League, Zambaha, said there would be a massacre that would rival those carried out by the Mongol hordes. The United Arab League decided Israel would never get past its birth. It would die in infancy. Satan trained all of the hate of the surrounding countries to stop as a stillborn birth this tiny nation.
They wanted it. At every head of state's convention, at every foreign minister's meeting, at every conference of the Arab League, one oath was repeated. We shall annihilate Egypt in the south, Syria in the north, spent fortunes on weapons, training, and terrorist warfare against Israel. All sources of power and education were aimed against Israel.
And so every nation around geared for war, and on May 15th they launched an attack against a country that had no army. This was trained armies. This was armies with armor. And every one of them in a simultaneous attack, coordinated event of war, attacked a nation who was still building their own guns in garages, was using what in terms today we call zip guns, taking conduit that you would use for to run electrical wire for, and fashioning barrels of guns and very inefficient homemade weapons. But I want to tell you, when you fight against what God's already said, you're wasting your time and effort and breath. I want to tell you, God said, I'm going to have a nation. God said Jerusalem's going to be the capital. The Lord said every last day event is going to surround my country, Israel, and they'll have their homeland. Let the world say, the devil hoped to abort Bible prophecy. Devil, I want to tell you, you don't have enough power. You don't have any dominion to thwart what God's already set in order. I want to tell somebody today, it feels like hell's against you. Rise up, lift up your head. You are a child of the King, and there's not enough devils in hell to defeat the salvation that God has started within you. Somebody praise Him in this house. though facing insurmountable odds. And with one of every 100, one of every 100 Jews killed in the next few days, Israel won the war, defeated every trained army attacking them, and said, "The Star of David is going to fly in Palestine." And God's clock ticked a little bit closer to the end. To the end. I said God's clock ticked a little bit closer to the end. Jesus said that this would mark the beginning of the last generation. Jesus said, when you see that fig tree, that nation, bloom again, put forth its leaves, you remember this, that generation will not pass away until all of these things, all of what things, these later things that he was going to, and part of our text that he was going to prophesy about, all of these things shall come within the time frame. If you didn't know it, in 1948, you could have reset your clock and said, now, we know Bible prophecy. We know exactly where we are, one generation away from the end times. Oh, I'd like to stir somebody up today that forgot Jesus is coming again. I'd like to stir somebody up that's lost their way and forgot that we're living in the last of the last days. I'd like to stir somebody up that thought your life was just eating and drinking and having a house and a job and the concerns of everyday world. I'm telling you, we are standing at the portal of eternity. And everybody needs to make their calling election sure. You need to be in this house rapture ready today. In Luke 21:29, and he spake them a parable of the fig tree and all the trees, when they shall now shoot forth. Ye shall know your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. You'll know your own self, he said. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. I want to tell you, the generation of 1948 is getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer by the day. I said it's getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer by the day. The seconds are ticking by. God's prophetic clock is more accurate than the atomic clocks that scientists gauge our time by. Oh yes, my friend, Jesus is coming soon. Israel has now fought at least 5 major wars with the Arab world. Each time outnumbered, each time outgunned, most of the time trumped at the start of the war, they have prevailed. One piece of Bible prophecy was missing. Jesus said that the Gentiles would not hold Jerusalem. Jesus said, if they're talking about the last times, that Jerusalem, Daniel prophesied, the Apostle Paul prophesied, The Apostle John prophesied, all in coordinating effort, and talked about Jerusalem once more being the centerpiece of Israel. But for 19 years, this was not so.
Jerusalem was divided 19 years ago, and for 19 years, no Jews were allowed to worship at its holy sites. For 19 years, border sectors were exposed to Jordanian snipers. For 19 years, the City of Peace was divided by walls and by barbed wire.
And so, in 1967, the Six-Day War was fought and Jerusalem was recaptured by Israel. God said, Jerusalem will not be trodden down by the Gentiles. God said in His Word through His prophets that Jerusalem was going to be owned by Israel. Most of the generation from 1948 until 1967 could only dream that one day Jerusalem would be back in their hands. Again, the odds looked insurmountable. But in 1967, as Egypt and the surrounding countries stacked up the odds to win the next war with Israel, there was what we term today the Six-Day War, and Israel recaptured Jerusalem again, thus setting the stage for last day prophetic events. Israeli paratroopers fought their way inside the old city of Jerusalem. The world said Israel would never hold Jerusalem again. The world said it's an impossibility. But my Bible said already that they would own it. They fought their way into Jerusalem. The paratroopers fought their way to the Temple Mount. For the first time in 19 years, soldiers, Jewish men, were able to walk up to the Wailing Wall, pull their helmets off and put their forehead against the wall and pray to Jehovah again. They fought their way up the steps to the Temple Mount, and the Star of David was once more, as you just saw, raised by paratroopers over top of Jerusalem. And God said, now the last piece has been set in place. That was 1967. How much closer are we to the coming of the Lord today? And yet many are lethargic. And yet many could care less. And yet many are not stirred. Many are caught up in the everyday. Oh, I want to tell you, you may not even consider yourself religious this morning. You need to pinch yourself and say, what are we going to do in the end times? God's clock is ticking by this morning. On Yom Kippur, August 6, 1973, Israel was once again attacked by the Arab world. They were opposed by insurmountable odds. Yet Israel once more proved victorious. At 1:55 p.m. On 1:55 p.m. on August 6th, Israel was attacked by 14 divisions, 3,100 tanks, 3,000 artillery pieces. And to fight them, they had 477 tanks, 80 artillery pieces, one armored division, and two brigades. And you know what they did? They won. I said, they won. He said, I don't see how that the Lord is coming back. I don't see how Israel won the Yom Kippur War that was launched against them on Holy Day. The odds were insurmountable. You can't win a war like that. But they won because God fought with them. Oh, I would like to tell you, in every Christian, there ought to be a sixth sense that is going off this morning that says, we are living in the last of the last days. Every person that forgot their way, every person that was one time on fire for God and today is lukewarm, ought to shake yourself as you feel a gentle stirring of the Holy Spirit within you that says, lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. Daniel and Paul, John prophesied that there would come a peace plan involving Israel and world leaders. Daniel said, I won't go into, we don't have time this morning, but he said it would occur during the 70th prophetic week of Israel. Prophetic weeks of their future history divided into 70 weeks. This would occur in the last week. Do you know right now that the entire world, I told you, I think it was last week, a recent poll in Europe, they cited Israel as the number one enemy of peace in the world. They just want to live. And right now, the European Common Community, the United Nations, the United States, the Arab world, all fastens their attention on a tiny speck in the Middle East called Israel. To the world, Israel is like a stack of dynamite, and the fuse has been lit. And if somebody doesn't do something, it's going to blow us all to smithereens. And the Bible tells us what the world's answer is going to be. A man is going to rise of Syrian descent, possibly from Turkey. And he will appear on the scene and he will go to Israel and make them an offer of peace. In conjunction with 10 nations that were the former Roman Empire, they are going to join together and back this peace plan, and this man of peace will be heralded by Israel as the answer to all of their problems. He said, I don't see how they could accept that. We've accepted a lot. We've accepted a lot in the last few years because of two airplanes in New York, one in Washington, and one in a field in Pennsylvania. Israel, on a daily basis, nearly has a cafe, a bus, a border crossing blown up, and people maimed and dying, and they're sick of living in terror. And somebody's going to come on the scene with a peace plan. And the Bible says that underneath that cloak of peace, he will emanate the evil of Satan himself. In the middle of the week, or that 7 years, that peace plan is going to be broken, as described in Matthew 25, verses 15 through 22. When that peace plan is broken, that man will stand up in Jerusalem. And the Bible said he'll enter the temple of God. And he'll proclaim himself to be worshipped as God. He will cause miracles to happen. And the Bible said that the whole world will wonder at his miracle. And he'll reveal himself as the hater of God's people, which will in turn launch the return of Jesus Christ with his saints, the battle of Armageddon in the valley of Megiddo. Jesus will come back and establish a millennial reign, and Jerusalem will be the capital. And he's coming soon. Every now and then, our clocks at the Setzer house gets all messed up. My girls will run 16 hair dryers out of one socket. Blow a breaker. I'll come home sometimes and every digital clock in the house is flashing. And we go through a process of resetting the clocks. The first thing I do is I pick up the telephone and I call time and temperature.
and I get the correct time. Then I set the first clock to the correct time, and I go around and set every clock.
Some people run their house and you do how you want. They'll set a clock 10 minutes fast so they won't be late. And then they'll look at it and say, well, I set it 10 minutes fast. I got 10 extra minutes, and they're late anyway. Why not just set it right? If you got to be somewhere, then be there at that time. Once you adjust to a wrong set clock, you operate as if it's not wrongly set and disregard it. You know it's lying to you, and you disregard it. And there's a lot of people today in houses of worship all over America. There's a whole nation of Israel that has disregarded their own prophets and set their clock according to their own agenda, and we walk oblivious to the coming of the Lord. But I've come with a message to tell you that Jerusalem is God's timepiece, and come to ask you the question, are you this morning aware of the time? It could be before noon hour today. It could be in the next 9 minutes before we hit the noon hour. Jesus Christ comes again, and world events take a drastic turn to fulfill the last few pages of Bible prophecy. And if you're lost, where would you be? If you're unattentive, how shall it stand then? Oh, I preach to you. Are you aware of the time? Bow your heads with me around this building.
Move along with time in our work and in our play. Just a fleeting moment, and it dawns another day.